verses 13 to 18. Is any one of you in trouble? You should pray. Is anyone happy? Sing songs of praise. Is any one of you sick? Call the elders of the church to pray over you and anoint you with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make you well. The Lord will raise you up. If you have sinned, you will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Elijah was human just as we are. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. Again he prayed, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its crops. This is the word of the Lord.
Well, it's a privilege to be here this morning and to be the first person to preach in this venue. And I want us to look together at this theme of worship through our words, what we say. Let's just pray together. Lord, we thank you for your word written. And we thank you for the Lord Jesus, the Word incarnate. And we pray that all that I say now and our lives day by day might reflect the character of the Lord Jesus and bring glory to him. For we ask it in his name. Amen. 30 years ago, I was a Christian minister in London. And recently, someone reminded me of something I had said in a sermon all those years ago. I didn't remember it. And I have to say, I don't remember now what it was he reminded me of. So many words are soon forgotten, aren't they? But I also have vivid memories of things I said even 40 years ago, which I wish I had never said. Words that were hurtful to somebody else, and words of which I am still ashamed as I remember them. I'm sure you have similar memories of things you have said, or things that have been said to you. Our reading that Ruth gave was from the letter of James. And James has a lot to say about words and the words we speak and how we speak. Listen to what he says in chapter 3. I'm going to read some verses from the Message. James says, "It takes only a spark, remember, to set off a forest fire. A careless or wrongly placed word out of your mouth can do that. By our speech we can ruin the world, turn harmony to chaos, throw mud on a reputation, send the whole world up in smoke and go up in smoke with it. Smoke right from the pit of hell. This is scary," says James. "You can tame a tiger, but you can't tame the tongue. It's never been done. The tongue runs wild, a wanton killer." On this Remembrance Sunday, as we think back to wars in the past, and the thousands, even the millions who have died, we can think of the way in which words have stirred up hatred and war. The Nuremberg rallies at which Hitler spoke so powerfully and eloquently in ways that would stir up a nation to war. Now, thankfully, our words are not always words like that that do damage. But even our own words sometimes can be like that. We're taken off guard. We say something regrettable, something damaging and destructive. We react to a situation where somebody does something to us. Maybe we're out driving and we don't care much for how somebody else has driven or pulled out in front of us or cut us up in some way. And what comes out of our mouth? Or maybe somebody has said something to us which has just stirred up a fire in us and we just want to get back at them. Or to defend ourselves, and we say words quickly and thoughtlessly, which are damaging, and think later, where on earth did that come from? Listen to what James goes on to say, writing to early Christians, Christians years ago. He says to them, with our tongues we bless God our Father, with the same tongues we curse the very men and women he made in his image. Curses and blessings out of the same mouth. My friends, this can't go on. A spring doesn't gush fresh water one day and brackish the next, does it? As we gather as a church today, our mouths are filled with praise of God. We've praised God with our songs. We've come before him in prayer. And those of us who lead or preach speak words which are filled with the wonder of God. We speak to you of all that God has done, and your hearts are moved. Or maybe in your own homes, as here, you come before God in prayer, pouring out your thanksgiving. Or earnestly praying for situations with prayer like that of Elijah that may move the very heart of God. But how is your tongue used on Monday when you're not in this situation? What kinds of things occupy your speech then? Or when you're in very different company? The purpose of this series on whole life worship is to remind us that God's word calls us to a worship that occupies every part of our lives, not just when we're met here on a Sunday. Every part of our lives is to be offered to God as an act of worship and is to glorify him. Do you remember the passage from Colossians that Paul was speaking on 2 weeks ago? The passage ended with these words from Colossians 3:17. Whatever you do, whether in word or in deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. In other words, every word that we speak is to be spoken in the name of Christ and in a spirit of thanksgiving. How do we speak to one another? Not just in church, but in the home, in our neighbourhoods, when we're out with others, maybe engaged in sport or watching it. When we're down the pub, what occupies our conversation then? How do we speak? Is every word we speak part of a life offered to God as an act of worship to him? Jesus says, it's recorded of him in Matthew's Gospel, I tell you that everyone will have to give account on the day of judgment for every empty word they have spoken. It's a frightful thought, isn't it? For by your words you'll be acquitted, by your words you'll be condemned. Praise God for Christ and his atoning work and the forgiveness we have in him. Otherwise, these would be terrifying words of his. But words can do